Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 319 of Longbox Heroes. This is Joe, joined by Todd. Todd, how are we doing this evening? It's election night.
Yes, a very big night in America. People deciding important things.
Record voter turnout. Mm-hmm. They said 41 people voted in your smear campaign.
Smear or truth campaign?
Well, let's see who won. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at this. So what are my... Now, it says here 59% of the vote went to me. And what's 59% of 41? I'm no math wizard.
It's probably like 23 or something like that.
24. You doing the math? Look at you, math wizard.
Well, and it's probably within a percentage, so.
So I am the president of Longbox Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means. I don't even know what that entails. I know I'm just going to make this podcast great again.
That's with the rights and privileges of presidents before you. Now, everything lives or dies on your shoulders.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, and
I'm not
and
sure how that's different than the way it was before, but okay.
Well, now you have the weight of the office behind you.
Mm.
But don't get impeached or do anything, you know, underhanded, because I'm ready to step in.
I do have an enemies list that does rival Nixon, so...
Oh, that's right. Talking Dead commentators and whoever else. It's mostly just that person several times.
No, it's just him. I was very proud I got a good dig in on him on Monday on the old Twitter machine.
Instead of the Jericho list, it's the Sposto list.
Oh, boy. I do keep a lot of lists, and this is... This is completely off topic, and this will be a perfect opportunity. We'll get these plugs out of the way right now. Soon-to-be-named-network.com, soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com. Check out all the shows in the network. I hope Fresher in Parlance comes back soon. Of course, Prodigal Sons Podcast, Profane Argument, Talking Gimmicks, Podvocacy, Puzzle Warriors 3, and that's where I'm getting to is Puzzle Warriors 3. They are the big dog these days because... they are the only Marvel Puzzle Quest podcast out there, so they get, like, the developers of the game on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, you know, the main guy on the show, Ray, you know, we're friends, and we're in their little Facebook group, and on Tuesday, he's like, hey, we're gonna have the developers on this week. Got any questions for them?
Uh-oh.
So, I'm like, hey, remember that time 2 months ago where this happened, and they never addressed it, and they said they were gonna? Yeah, ask him about that. And hey, how about this time a month ago where this happened, and I just had a list of things.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of the other people are like, yeah, I think the ship has sailed on those ones. I don't think we're going to get a response or compensation or anything for those. And mm-hmm. I said, I have a list. I will never forget, and I will never forgive.
Yep, it's kind of like me with those Infinity Stones from Marvel.
Right.
But I just look at it as, you're the person who can write the ship with your triplicates and your notebooks and your whatever. But I think the fix was in. I really do. I think someone may have tweeted and voted several times with multiple accounts. I'm just saying. And if I was a pettier man, Joe,
right.
If I was a pettier man, I would demand a recount and go crazy on this. But I'm not going to. I'm gonna take the high road on this and slam you every time you make a mistake from here on out.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
No supposed to.
Let's get into the show this week. We've got some news to talk about. Some controversy at one of the big convention companies.
Hmm.
Marvel is going to be having a launch party for their next soft event, which I'm okay with, and the return of one of the greatest animated series of the last 10 years.
They're bringing back Silverhawks?
No, that was like 20 years, but no. We have all the conventions that are happening this week, and there's a plethora of them. We have digital sales and freebies. Are the freebies still free? Yes. I don't like the new freebie schedule, but we'll get into that. We're also going to be discussing what we read from this past week, which would be Southern Bastards number 15, Unworthy Thor number 1, and then we have a preview book, and I'll just say it's from Boom Studios.
Hmm.
And we'll get to that a little bit later on. You got to sweep those quarter hours, brother.
That's right, and hit those key phrases.
That's right, on the world, the award-winning Long Box Heroes podcast.
Yes, we've won something somewhere, probably.
What we're looking forward to coming out this week, and, of course, TV Talk, where we're going to be discussing the most recent episodes of The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Walking Dead. And I know you're all asking yourself, whither my Doctor Strange discussion? That's all over on Long Box Heroes After Dark this Friday. It's not that it's very sweary for any real reason. It's just that if we threw Doctor Strange in here on top of all this other stuff, it'd be a 9-hour show.
That's right. And I don't feel like I had a rough day stumping today, so I'm tired.
And see, the thing is, we still have to talk the full length of this. We're just doing this as a service to you, the listener, because mm-hmm, we love you.
Yes.
That's going to be my first promise as president of Longbox Heroes.
Is to love everyone?
Yes.
All right. You get on that.
All right. So, apparently, at the Wizard World conventions, Wizard World Inc. is suing one of their former chief marketing officers, the brother of the man who founded Wizard all the way back then in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that he bilked the company out of an excess of $1 million by obtaining autographs and other memorabilia and selling them on his own behalf. And he may have been aided and abetted by up to 10 other people who may or may not be also part of the company. They're just listed in the lawsuit as John Doe's 1 through 10 currently.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is, he was, you know, part of the company, the chief marketing officer, while doing this. There's a black eye on the company.
Slightly, yes. But was he really bilking them? They could have done the same thing, too. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Like, that's like, if it comes out to $1 million, but I look at it as it's comic $1 million, so it probably depreciated over time, like those one half issues and all that other stuff. And they're not CGC graded as, like, you know, signature series, probably.
Well, we don't know. We don't have an exact laundry list of all the individual items.
Mm-hmm.
It just says autographs and memorabilia.
True. So what if this brings down WizardCon, like, now, and then the other territories, like, sweeps come in?
That's part of the reason why I wanted to include this in the news, because we don't typically bring up stuff like this that's kind of a bummer and kind of a downer. But, mm-hmm, you know, since the comic book conventions are like the territories system of wrestling days of old, there were many a times where the World Wrestling Entertainment had a variety of scandals, from steroids to sex abuse to all sorts of things, Todd. And they bounced back. And this is not the first go through the wood chipper for Wizard. Remember when they, like, 2 or 3 years ago, like, declared bankruptcy, and then they were supposed to have those cruises that never happened?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a bunch of blemishes on the record, if you will, of Wizard World. But they always seem to bounce back. But this is a kind of a big one.
Yeah, do you remember when the magazine was canceled and people were supposed to get subscriptions to other stuff, too?
Yes.
And I don't think that ever happened.
No.
But, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Maybe this is big, and it, with, like, you know, 10 John Doe's involved and this person against that person, it could be ripped apart just by, you know, the lawsuits and bleeding out money fighting everything. You know what I mean? It's right. Happened before with other stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised, but there is a lot of cash in celebrity photo ops. So maybe that'll keep it afloat.
Mm-hmm. We shall see. But again, just wanted to mention this just to kind of, you know, relate it back to our talk of the territories as we are wont to do.
Mm-hmm. Providences.
So, the other thing, of course, as I mentioned, the next Marvel event, I guess, after Civil War is Monsters Unleashed, which I'm excited for. I like the big crazy monsters. I like Cullen Bunn. Steve McNiven is the main artist on this. So, as Marvel has done in the past with any sort of event that they do, they always do, like, have a party at your store, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be lithographs and the postcards and all sorts of different variants that you can get. And then, of course, there's the crazy variant that you can get of Monsters Unleashed if you order 125% more than what you order on Civil War number 6.
And that's probably comparable because the Monsters things is going to be as big as Civil War 2, which, you know, since that's over, we can go into our next crossover, Monsters Unleashed. But, yeah, I think that number might be a bit high, and I don't see many retailers doing that.
But I do give Marvel credit for trying with Monsters Unleashed. Like, Monsters Unleashed, like, appeals to me, but mm-hmm. it very much feels like the old fifth week events of old.
Yep. You should ask our retailer if he's doing it because I'm not saying the variant, but all the stuff that you get mm-hmm. because he's he's probably an old monster fan guy. So
like how
push
you
him
think
to do that.
Like how you think football is real and I think wrestling is real. He thinks Godzilla is real.
He's not? Oh no, there goes Tokyo.
Go, go, Godzilla?
Yes.
But yeah, you know, like, I'm excited for this, because I like the monsters, and I think it'll be fun and light, and it'll have no bearing on many other things. I'll get my 5 issues, and I'll be happy.
I don't know, I really think Sprague the Living Hill is gonna tie into all those other books.
If they could do it.
Oh, God.
Okay, I got stuff I gotta take care of later. But,
uh-oh.
The last bit of news that we need to talk about is DC has officially announced, after many, many years, by many, I mean 3, of people clamoring and hoping for this to come back, they are going to be doing a 3rd season of Young Justice.
Hmm. Was
Have
that
you
a popular
ever watched
cartoon?
Young Justice?
Never saw an episode.
Oh, boy. It is delightful. It is essentially, you know, Teen Titans, but then it starts to get in, like, every corner of the DC universe that you possibly can imagine.
Space Cabbie?
I don't remember if Space Cabbie's in it, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's really good. Like, it's way better than it has any right to be for essentially just being an animated series in the last, like, 5 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I highly recommend it. It is on the old Netflix. Now, it hasn't been announced if it's going to be, like, on Cartoon Network, if it's going to be Netflix exclusive. They just announced that they're going to be doing it.
Right. To tell you the truth, I've always wanted to watch it. I've heard a lot of people rave about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't had time. There's always something else on the list that I'm trying or watching at the same time. So, hopefully, maybe, like, once my palate is clear, I'll get around to trying this. Because I'm always a big fan of the Teen Titans, and I liked Young Justice, the actual comic, which was one of, you know, when Peter David was one of the best writers in the business.
Yep.
I do want to check this out. Now that there's a 3rd season, maybe that'll prompt me to check it out. And I can imagine, you know, it being a cartoon, it's something that I could be like, oh, you know what, I watch this, and I watch this tonight. Maybe I'll just do a half hour of, I guess that's what they are, I don't know.
Yeah,
a half hour.
You know, like 22 minutes with no commercials, so.
Right, but you know what I'm saying? Like just a something before I go to bed. You know what I mean? Like watch a cartoon and go to sleep. So I can see me doing it eventually.
And I think, and you know, like I said before, it kind of ties into a bunch of other stuff too. Like it tied into like Brightest Day because that version of Aqualad is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 2nd season is Invasion,
which they're doing this season on the CW shows.
Mm-hmm.
So
the 1st season is 26 episodes. The 2nd season is 20 episodes. But by the time that we're like halfway into the 2nd season, it's less Young Justice and Teen Titans and more the entire DC universe.
Hmm.
Like Justice League is in it. And it's really good.
Cool.
Everybody on Twitter, tell Todd how good Young Justice is.
Oh, God. Have I ever stuck our fans on you before?
Yes. All the time.
Really? I have. Never. Never.
All the time.
True.
So, that covers the news. Again, not a really heavy news week. But, of course, always stuff to discuss. There is a ton of conventions this weekend. Minimally, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 featuring, you know, big-name guests and stuff. Just to kind of scrape the surface of this. Fan Expo in Vancouver is having a bunch of the cast members of the Flash TV show, specifically Tom Cavanaugh.
I know him.
If he was in a convention, I would say within like a 3 to 4 mile radius, or 3 to 4 hour radius. Listen to me, mile radius. If he's down the street at the Turkey Hill, 3 to 4 hours, I would go to meet Tom Cavanaugh.
Well, there's Tom Cavanaugh. I see him buying Zots. Get down here so you can get your Mark photo.
So the Bakersfield Comic Con in Bakersfield, California has Tim Bradstreet and a man who makes the convention circuit like nobody's business, Sam Jones.
Mm-hmm.
The Hall of Heroes convention in Jacksonville, Florida has Peter David, aforementioned, and George Perez.
That's a power duo.
Mm-hmm. The North Carolina Comic Con in Durham, North Carolina has tons and tons of people. From Dave Johnson of Watchmen fame to Robert Venditti, currently of really awesome Green Lantern Comics fame.
Yes.
But the big one, Todd, would be the Rhode Island Comic Con.
Is that in Rhode Island?
It is in Rhode Island. You've got, batten down the hatches, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Stan Lee.
Ooh.
Now I can end it there.
Yeah, you could just stop. We could walk away now.
Okay. Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Gail Godot. Ooh. Christian, okay. Slater.
Oh, from Pump Up the Volume.
Right. Heathers as well, sure. Billy D. Williams.
Cole 45.
John Ratzenberg.
Oh, from all the Pixar movies.
Yep. The Rob.
The Rob?
The Rob.
Did you see his tweet the other day?
No.
DJ retweeted it. Somebody was like, hey, Rob, learn how to draw feet. And he's like, I draw checks, son.
He's the man.
I was like, okay, Rob, you're okay on that one. Go on.
Speaking of Alice Cooper.
Friend of the show, Alice Cooper.
Friend of the show.
I want to be elected.
Ric Flair.
Oh, Ric Flair.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
He's still around?
He certainly is. Jake the Snake Roberts.
He's still around?
Billy Gunn.
Oh, he's that guy who had that song about his posterior.
Right. And legitimate friend of the show, or at least friend of me, Hornswoggle.
Oh, man. There's a guy I know who goes to concerts, whether, you know, he has to look around to find out how to get there, but...
Oh, my goodness.
He gets there eventually.
Oh, my cool. But if you are going to the Rhode Island Comic Convention, tell Hornswoggle I said hi. He's a good guy.
Yep.
Regardless of what you may have heard from unreliable sources.
Tell him I said hi, too.
I don't think he knows you.
Well, he should.
So all the links to all of these conventions and more are going to be in the show notes. As well as a link to Mark Cole's podcast, the Winter Palace podcast, who is having his 50th episode this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this, he has been doing the podcast maybe a little bit longer than we have, and he's only got 50 episodes, but he, as he will tell you, he does quality episodes.
Yes, we shoot for quantity.
Right.
And forget the quality.
We're filling a quota.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he regularly has like big name guests on, whether it be big name guests in the world of professional wrestling, big name guests in the world of comics, amongst many other people. He has them on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Where our show is just, for the most part, Todd and myself. Even though Todd and myself do appear on Mark's podcast from time to time.
From time to time.
It's not a constant thing. So some of the digital sales and freebies going on this week. Hey, Todd, there's Doctor Strange comics on sale.
Why is that?
Because there was a Doctor Strange movie that came out this past week, and apparently it did very good at the box office, so Marvel is attempting to capitalize on that and selling you a bunch of Doctor Strange comics, and that's a good thing to do. It's the majority of the current Jason Aaron run. It's like the first year's worth. It is the Brian K. Vaughan miniseries, which is really good. There's a Mark Waid miniseries that is also really good. And that's it. It's all current stuff. It's no old stuff, which is...
They don't have the Doctor Strange, Doctor Doom, Triumph, and Torment.
They do not.
That is wrong, man.
That is an oversight. But I think they had that in a sale like a week or two ago.
Okay, I guess I'll let them off.
And they don't like to double up so close together. Marvel is also having a sale on a bunch of Daredevil stuff. They have the first three trades of Bendis's run and the first three trades of Frank Miller's run. And those are all on sale. And it's not like, when I say trades, it's like the giant collections. It's right. The $30 collections for $10 a piece.
That's a good deal.
That is a good deal. That's like 14, it's like 20 issues per thing at $10 a pop. You know, you do the math.
Right. I did that before. I'm not doing any more math.
And then through Image, they're having a sale on a bunch of Joe Kelly's stuff. Joe Kelly is someone who I'm a big fan of and has been since that Deadpool run that he had way back in the 90s. Just based on that alone, I'll be a fan of his for life. His Image stuff that he has is a book called Four Eyes, which they have both in single issues and in trade. Another book called Bad Dog about a werewolf who is a bounty hunter and also may have a drinking problem. That's a very good book. And most importantly, the trade and single issues of I Kill Giants is included in this.
Oh boy.
And if you've never read I Kill Giants, plunk down your hard-earned $7 and give that a read. Arguably one of the most heart-wrenching comics of the last 10-plus years.
I still have a grudge against you for you making me read that.
Yes, I...
In a good way.
Right, I was going to say, I propped your eyeballs open, a la Clockwork Orange, and held a knife to your throat and said, you read this or else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really good. Highly recommend it. Check that out. All of that will be in the show note links, as well as the freebies, which is Fool Killer number one. That's the original series from the 90s. Wolverine Origins number one. Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which was like a mid-2000s miniseries. Kind of retelling the origin of the Avengers. Which, Marvel retells the origin of the Avengers as much as DC retells the origin of Superman.
We really should have a count on that and see who's done more. It's probably Superman, because he's been around...
Longer.
For like 97 years or something like that.
But I don't know, Marvel kind of went hot and heavy with it over the last like 10 years.
Right, but Superman's had his origin told like 5 times this week. I'm pretty sure.
See, and that's the thing is, though, that at least the Superman ones, like, you know more about. Like, I'm not even counting the ones from 1930 up to 1985, how many times they retold it. But from 1985 to current, they've retold his origin at least 6 times.
From what year to current?
86 to current.
And you say it's only 6 times?
You have the John Byrne one.
Right.
Then they don't do it again for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Then they did the, the Mark Waid, the Birthright. Then they did the Geoff Johns Secret Origins.
Mm-hmm.
Then they did the New 52 Origin. And then whatever's going on with him now.
There's probably some more.
Right, there's probably more. But off the top of my head, in the last 30 years, I can think of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with the retelling of the Avengers, and let's say, the same time frame, I know of, counting the one that starts this week, at least 4. times that they've retold the origin of the Avengers.
But it gets retold every time they create a new Avengers team, so...
No, it's like the retelling of that original issue one.
Oh, okay. It's like, hey, this is for that 3 minutes you didn't see those other 19 times.
Hey, you know the first three issues of the Avengers, that crew of the Avengers? Here's a one-shot that's going to retell those issues. Here's an 8-issue miniseries that's going to retell those three issues. And here's like another like ongoing series that's going to retell those issues.
If only people could do it as well as Untold Tales of Spider-Man.
Man, and that's the thing. That wasn't a retelling of the origin. It was just fitting in seamlessly to those original Lee and Ditko stories.
Which were I have that omnibus. I bought that for like $10.
Oh, man.
And it has the annual with Aunt May's Wheat Cakes recipe. What more do you need?
You don't want to share that online.
No.
No. All right, so like I said, all that'll be in the show notes, whether you're getting the show through the website or, I don't know, do the show notes show up on iTunes or whatever podcatcher you're using to get the show?
You know what I use? Nothing, so I don't know.
Oh, boy. So let's get into what we read from this past week, Todd. Oh, the other free book, and this is going to be my seamless thing before I got distracted about the Avengers and Superman. The other free book is Thor God of Thunder number 1, which was the first Jason Aaron Thor book from Marvel.
Right.
That is for free. That leads us into a book that came out this past week, which was also written by Jason Aaron, called Unworthy Thor number 1.
Right. Let me start or you start?
You start, since this was the one you were most looking forward to coming out this week.
Sure. After the events of, what was it, Secret Origins?
Original Sin.
Original Sin. See, you got Origins on my brain. That Thor was deemed unworthy by being whispered to by Nick Fury. We jump in here to, there's a little bit in the beginning of where we're supposed to be now, where Thor's trying to get the Ultimate Thor hammer, apparently, that was left over from the Thor's miniseries during Secret War. And then the flashback goes to him trying to stop trolls on the moon, which is absolutely fantastic, which is so fun in this because he's not happy since he's lost the hammer. And the moon is where he lost it, so it brings back terrible memories. And through Nick Fury, who's chained to the moon, I don't think Thor knows, or Odin's son knows who he is, but
right.
He sets him on the path to find the hammer, and we're on our way, basically. This is the first issue setting all of that up, and I really enjoyed it because I dig angry, you know, beat things up and, you know, be mopey at times Odin's son, and this unworthy Thor has all of that, and I enjoyed it.
Right, so then he comes across, I guess, someone else.
Right, I was trying to... I didn't.
Right, right, right. Look, I'm going to tread lightly, of course.
Gotcha.
Which leads me to believe that we'll probably be seeing more other Thors in this miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
On the road to tying this into the next big event in the main Thor book, which is Asgard versus the Shi'ar Empire.
Right, the War of... I thought it was the War of the Realms. Is that what they're calling it, I think?
Well, I see a lot of stuff with, like, Jane Foster Thor fighting gladiator images on future covers, so that's what I'm guessing it's involving.
I guess. I have not seen any of these covers, so...
So, I ask you, Todd, by the end of this miniseries, will we find out what Nick Fury said, or what was said to Odinson to make him unworthy?
I think so, and we better find out.
Oh, we better?
Yes, I don't think it would be a good place to find out in Mighty Thor, because that's not Jane's story. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's this story, because I just think it takes away from what they're doing with Jane, which has already had stuff taken away from it by being derailed by Secret Wars, and now being derailed by... the Civil War being late, they had to tie it into that a little bit. I just feel that Jason Aaron has to write his way around stuff, and he does it very well, but I would like to find out in this why, because the title's called Unworthy Thor. You have to answer that question in this. It's not, why is Thor mighty? We're getting that in Mighty Thor. So I kind of look at it that way, that we better get the answer in this. And it's been a very long time, especially with that Secret Wars gap, that we really need to have this question answered.
Do you have any postulation of what it could be?
I have none. I honestly don't. Do you have any weird theories?
Well, we were actually discussing it in the aforementioned Marvel Puzzle Quest group.
Mm-hmm.
I think not exactly what it's going to be, but I think it's going to be words to the effect of, you will never be your father.
Okay.
I call it a hunch, call it something, I don't know what to call it. I just have a weird feeling that's what it's going to be.
Hmm, interesting. Even though he becomes his father, pretty much.
Okay, he does. But
he doesn't know that.
He at this point in his juncture, he doesn't know that.
Does he remember Old Man Thor?
That's a good question.
I don't think he does. I'd have to reread God of Thunder to find that out. But I'm wondering if he remembers that he was a retired Thor.
Yes. So, the other book, also a Jason Aaron book, with art by Jason Latour, is the Returning Southern Bastards number 15. The quick and the dirty of this book is the first part of a new storyline, and this is a slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
Where Coach Boss's team is losing. They lost at homecoming. They lose the next week. His cronies are asking him to implore his usual strategies of kind of abusing and beating down people. While the rest of the town, the mayor's wife, the police chief, other luminaries around town are looking to hold a secret meeting about what's going on with Coach Boss. All the while, Roberta, Earl Tubbs' daughter, who we barely, we just saw her toward the end of the most recent arc that ended back in July, is just kind of there, watching everything go on. She's not making a move just yet, but we're seeing her watching everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole issue, every time I turned the page, I was waiting for it. I was waiting for her to react. Waiting for her to do something. And she didn't. And it just makes me want the next issue that much more.
I agree. She's a shoulder. She's a soldier, and she's doing recon. She's making sure she knows where all the cards are, where everybody's loyalty lies, and she's not going to go in guns a-blazing. She's going to bring it down, at some point there's going to be guns a-blazing. But you know what I mean? She's trying to figure out where his weakest links and everything. And I love the fact that it's not because, Boss killed Earl Tubbs. It's not because of, the terrible things he's done to the town members that they want to have this secret meeting. It's because he lost some football games. In Alabama, son, that is the worst crime you can commit in Alabama is lose football. And I'm like, this has me like in stitches over that. But yes, I'm totally down with you that it's like, when is she going to do the thing that, who's she going to grab first? That's her in, her whatever way she's going to do it. So I am. The tension kind of builds in this as you see her seeing visions of what she's been kind of told happened to her father. As she's walking around the town, she's, seeing where he may have, fell. And I'm like, Jason Aaron and Jason Latour really pull that off with this issue.
Absolutely, and it just made me remember why I miss this book so much. It is so good.
Yep. Hopefully we'll get, more issues soon, but
well,
you never
they
know.
Have them solicited up to February.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
That's why I love your notebook.
Mm-hmm.
I go see you when I have questions like this.
Yep. I'm the man to talk to.
That's why you're the president.
That's... They call me Mr. President.
That's right.
So the last book that we're going to be discussing, speaking of Mr. President, is a preview book. It's a book that's in stores this week. Today, as this episode is hitting your ears, whether you get your go to the store to pick them up digitally or otherwise. And it is the newest book from Boom Studios. It is called World Wrestling Entertainment, Then, Now, and Forever, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Dennis Hopeless, who has done a majority of a variety of things. Most recently, I think, Star-Lord at Marvel. I'm just trying to look at what else he's done, just so you can kind of get an idea. He did Avengers Arena, which people seem to enjoy. Cable and X-Force, which was really, really good. He did Spider-Woman, the most recent Spider-Woman run. And, yeah, he does Spider-Woman currently. So he does a bunch of stuff. And now he's doing the World Wrestling Entertainment book.
What's his name again?
Dennis Hopeless.
Dennis. Okay, I didn't know if it was Dennis Hopeless. Because I think this shouldn't be said written by Dennis Hopeless. It should be as told to by Dennis Hopeless.
Well,
I feel he's just being a biographer to what happened in the WWE.
Right. Now, see, as I'm reading this book, now there's a bunch of stories in this book, stories that are as short as one page as they get to the back where they give you like one page recaps of some of the biggest names in World Wrestling Entertainment history, from your Dusty Rhodes to your Undertakers to your New Days to your John Cena's and stuff like that. There's a little bit with the New Day as camp counselors, where they use their time machine and they go back.
The New DeLorean.
What was that?
The New DeLorean.
Right, the New DeLorean.
Mm-hmm.
But the main story, Todd.
Right.
Is why Seth Rollins turned his back on his brothers in the Shield.
That's right. All over potato salad.
All over potato salad.
That's what I gather. I didn't know. Now, was all this stuff... What?
While the members of the Shield were having a shirtless cookout on the top of a big rig truck.
A Raw big rig truck.
A Monday Night Raw big rig truck.
That's right. And not Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins forgot the potato salad. And I don't know if you know this, Joe, Dean Ambrose does not eat steak without potato salad. They've had their steak night before we've had ours. Which totally upsets me, by the way. Totally upsets me.
Are we going to have a shirtless steak night like the other guys, like the guys in the Shield did?
Yes, we're totally going to have a shirtless steak night like the Hot Cops did. But I was like, and I'm guessing, because you know better than I, that they're mentioning the pay-per-view that he turned on. Was that really the pay-per-view that they had?
Todd, I don't want to say that I went and pulled up WWE results from that time frame to make sure that they were getting not only the dates, but also the buildings that they were mentioning correct.
Did they?
They absolutely did.
That's fantastic. So that makes me think, honestly, that Dean Ambrose really likes potato salad. Like this is all true. And I like the fact that this story was fun and ridiculous and everything at the same time. But I really do like that that's the way they're going to do this comic, I think, because the turnover in wrestling is tough, where if you did a story about Finn Balor, the Demon King
the
being
Demon
champ.
King Finn Balor?
Yes, the Demon King. Being champion, he got hurt the first night he was champion. So, you know, you have to redo your storylines in the comics, which kind of tough. I don't know if you know this. They're in the can usually 2 months before they're coming out or they're worked on.
Right.
So I like the fact that these are flashbacks telling stories. Like you said, that if you're a fan, they actually line up and everything. And I don't know if like a lot of wrestling fans are sticklers for details like that and know these things. But so hopefully, you know, the fans like it. But I like the idea on the main story. I really did. What did you think?
I did too. I enjoyed this way more than I should have.
Mm-hmm.
And I get such a kick out of them doing stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of, you know, we talked before, this essentially is the untold tales of World Wrestling Entertainment.
Which is a great way to describe it.
Right. So, you know, obviously they, in both of those two stories that we mentioned, the New Day story and the Shield story, they both say to be continued. And when the first issue of this comes out, the regular run of it in January, they are going to be continuing those two, of course, stories from there, you know, kind of the goofy New Day stuff and the filling in the gaps of the Shield storyline. But instead of those one-shot things of all those favorite characters from World Wrestling Entertainment history, they're going to be doing a bunch of fantasy warfare things. Ah. Like, what if AJ Styles wrestled Shawn Michaels? Or what if this guy wrestled this guy? Or what if this guy wrestled that guy?
Dream bookings.
Yes. Fantasy warfare come to life.
Yes. Wow. Where have I heard that phrase before? But the thing that we mentioned, two things I want to mention really quick. I'm going to go back to the New Day story, that they decide to go back to where wrestling all started.
Right.
And wrestling all started apparently with Ric Flair.
Exactly as he is.
Wrestling Tyrannosaurus Brock Lesnar.
Yes, in the Stone Age.
I'm like, fantastic on that one. And then I have to actually say, I really did enjoy the Sasha Banks story.
Okay.
I thought that was a cute little, you know, like the whole being, you know, her being influenced by Eddie Guerrero. And then in the end, she's probably influencing some person in the crowd right now. And I thought, I really liked the interesting art on it. And I thought that was a really cool, like, you know, apparently, you know, people like you, like, really take their wrestling seriously, and they can be inspired by it. So, all joking aside, I really did kind of like that story.
Wow, there you go.
So it touched,
like,
my heart.
So it's like poetry, so it rhymes, is what you're saying.
Yes, it touched my broken heart.
So definitely check out this, you know, we talk comics on the show, we talk wrestling on the show all the time. If you have a light pull week this week when you go to the store, check the WWE comic out. We didn't spoil too much about it, other than the fact that the real reason the Shield broke up is because Seth Rollins forgot potato salad.
I'm telling you, that's what I got from it.
Now, I can only hope and dream and pray that this comic takes off in such a way that people start bringing Dean Ambrose potato salad.
Or I want them to bring it up on one of the shows. Honestly, just this is stuff. I like Vince, like, the comic's selling. The kids, they love that Ambrose, you know, loves potato salad. I want a vat of potato salad under his arm every time he walks down to the ring with a big spoon ladling it in.
Are you doing that's an impression? What I want. Are you doing an impression of Mickey from the Rocky movies? What's going on over there?
Yeah, I want you to crap thunder. Yep, I think I am.
Get him, Rock!
Get him, Rock.
See, it works because he's talking about the Rock, and Rock is...
Oh, it all works. It all rhymes.
So, we talked about what we read from this past week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com every Tuesday evening around 5:30 Eastern time or so, you will find the pull post, which is a link to a link for all the books that are coming out this week, whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you get them in trade, however it is that you get your books, be forewarned, be forearmed, know what's coming out so there are no surprises, so that you can be ready with the correct amount of money, the correct amount of bags and backs. Do you need to pick up a new short box, long box to bring everything home? Be ready.
Yes.
So, Todd and I attempt to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out each week. Todd is currently in the lead with 27 correct guesses. I have 26 correct guesses. Let us see if we can continue this or someone can close the gap. I started the show, so I go first. Now, I have a question about your list.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have Steve Rogers, Captain America, listed here as issue 1.
I must have hit the wrong button when I sent it to you, and it should be 7.
Just wanted to make sure.
And I don't know. You have Captain America, Steve Rogers. We have it backwards. So, right. But they are the same comic.
They are the same comic.
Sorry about the number one. It was a typo.
Okay. I think the book you were most looking forward to coming out this week is Invincible Iron Man number one.
Yes, it is. It is Invincible Iron Man's number one.
Booyah.
But I didn't get the variant cover I wanted.
Oh, snap.
I'm looking at your pull list, which is larger than mine this week.
Yes.
Is the book you're looking forward to most Batman/TMNT Adventures number one?
It is.
Woo!
So, that is just looking like one of the most fun books that there could possibly be. I liked when DC earlier this year did their crossover with the kind of more, you know, current universe versions of both Batman and the Ninja Turtles. Now this is the animated universe Batman crossing over with the current animated universe Ninja Turtles, a show that I haven't watched very much lately, but it is one of my son's favorite shows, so I'm very interested to see how these two are going to blend together.
You know what I want now? I want, like, Frank Miller Batman with the original Mirage Turtles. That's the next crossover.
I'm sure it's in the works at some point. Somebody has that bright idea, and if they don't, patent pending.
That's right. TM.
NT?
Oh! I like that one. I'm going to give you DAP for that.
I don't know what that means.
Either do I. I heard it on a show once.
Oh, boy. Stop watching shows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They only lead to problems.
I have so many problems.
So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out everything that we have over there, whether it be links to past episodes of this show, whether it be links to episodes of After Dark, whether it be past pull posts, just in case you missed a week of your books and want to make sure that you're not getting shortchanged, or Amazon link across the top of the page. It's almost Thanksgiving time, Todd.
Yes, it is.
And apparently, in certain areas, you can get your groceries through Amazon.
You can?
It's some sort of thing called Amazon Fresh. I don't think they offer it around here, but in real cities they do.
Are you saying we're not in a real city?
Listen, there's a guy who looks a lot like Stan Malibu. He calls himself some sort of weird fake name. He tells me not to put periods at the beginning of my tweets.
Oh my goodness.
He also claims that Wilkes-Barre is a real city. The jury is out. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, you can get your turkey through our Amazon link, and we would be very happy about that. Any purchase that you get through our Amazon link makes us happy because we get to talk about it on the show, and it puts a couple nickels in our pockets. Unless you are going through our Amazon click-through and purchasing adult Doctor Who coloring books.
Congratulations to whoever got that.
Mm-hmm.
You're winning the Amazon link click-through.
I don't know. I think that person who bought the giant leather desk chair is the winner of this year.
Was this year the posterior, or was that last year? Remember the fake buttocks?
Oh, that was last year.
Because that one won the Amazon click-through last year.
Right. That was definitely last year.
Do you have all your notes of the click-throughs from the beginning of the year?
No, but that's something that I could very easily look up through the Amazon little how do you do.
That's right. That's one of those things where I just had one of my amazing ideas like I do. We're going to have the winner of the Amazon click-through this year. You won the Amazon click-through. Right now, it's for me Doctor Who coloring book because adult coloring book because those are awesome.
Now, it's two coloring
books. Two of them?
Yeah, somebody purchased two. One just is called Doctor Who coloring book. The other one is called Doctor Who Travels in Time coloring book.
Ooh, I thought he got two of the same one. We dodged that bullet, Joe.
Experience the timey-wimey travels of the Doctor moment by moment with this historical Doctor Who coloring book. Inside, you'll find the Doctor's greatest friends. It should just be plural. It shouldn't be plural. It should be one friend. And foes from throughout history with the original illustrations featuring Churchill, Shakespeare, Van Gogh, Dickens, and many more. Color in kings and queens, Romans and Egyptians, Viking villages and erupting volcanoes, not forgetting the occasional dinosaur on a spaceship.
Fantastic. I get all those references. And if I had to pick, and people are going to get this, and if I had to pick you as a Doctor Who villain, definitely a Slitheen. You are Slitheen all day.
I like to think of myself more as Hufflepuff, because I think you're talking about Harry Potter now.
You're a wizard, Harry.
You're a wizard, Doctor.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Oh, boy. Terrible.
Yes.
But in all honesty, in all seriousness, thank you very much for purchasing anything and everything through our Amazon click-through. It just makes all of us very happy. And by all of us, I mean me, the president, and I guess that makes Todd the vice president.
That's right. I hope nothing happens to the president.
Oh, no.
Let me make you that steak on steak dinner, Mr. President.
More poison? I mean tea? Oh, man. All right. We still have a lot more show to get into. Let's get into our best blank from this past week, the weekly question, which is best death stroke. My favorite death stroke, without getting into too much discussion on this, is the death stroke from the Geoff Johns Teen Titans era.
He was angry.
Because that was, to me, the beginning of them making him a serious character again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he might have been not the villain that he could or should have been long time.
Was Geoff Johns' Deathstroke before or after Brad Meltzer's?
Before.
Okay, fair enough.
Because Johns' stuff was in 01, and I think the Identity Crisis stuff was like 05 or 06.
Okay, cool.
Let me see what the internet claims.
Well, you have it at your fingertips.
Meltzer's thing was 04, and John's run was 2001.
Well, that's 3 years beforehand, so John's gets the nod.
Yeah, so like it was the beginning of him getting Deathstroke to that point. So I like that progression, how it began in the run on Teen Titans.
Right. My version, if I had to answer, would be the Wolfman Perez version from the new Teen Titans where he first appeared. Mad that his son is the original Ravager, which they totally, because he was trying to live up to his father's thing by taking out the Titans, and he burns out, and then, you know, as Deathstroke doesn't blame his son for taking the stuff that he did and burning out, he blames the Titans, and then gets a plan that involves mentoring, Terra?
And so I address that in my little write-up on the show that I did there, that that whole relationship... Listen, I'm not a guy who is sensitive to most other people's feelings, and I'm kind of stuck in my own sensibilities regarding how things are in most entertainment of most kinds, and when people say, like, this offended me or that offended me, I'm like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. But even I can realize that in the original Wolfman Perez run, Terra and Deathstroke's relationship is the definition of problematic.
What? I don't know. He was just teaching her to be a villain. There's no, definite...
They were both definitely doing the most evil thing I can think of.
So, but I do like dastardly Deathstroke at that time.
Dastardly Deathstroke?
That's right. They don't call him Deathstroke the Terminator because that'll get them sued by Arnie and Cameron.
Well, and that's the thing. When I was doing my research on this, they were calling him Deathstroke the Terminator years before the Terminator movie came out.
Right, and the story I read, and I could be wrong, is that they messed up the copyright and just Deathstroked them. and I just use that as a verb. but and then later on, when the Terminator movie came out, they were like, "Well, you didn't do that, so it's, you know, we're the Terminator and you're Deathstroke." So I don't know. I could be wrong on that, though. I've been known to muck one up every now and then.
Every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't happen all the time.
No.
All right. So that covers... Oh, next week's question.
Yes, I was just about to ask.
Next week's question is going to be best Deadpool. I'm surprised we made it this long without talking about Deadpool.
Well, we went from the character that Deadpool is based off of to mm-hmm. Deadpool.
Right. So just leave that in our little notes, our links, or so forth. Thanks to everyone who tweeted or commented. I think Mark Cole, aforementioned, had the same one as you did from that original run from the Judas contract. And then Stiff Peg Pete had mentioned the version in the Teen Titans animated series.
Mm.
And even further still, when not called Deathstroke, because we can't have the word death in a kid's cartoon, when it reverted to Teen Titans Go, they even further went down the hole where they have entire battles with Slade off camera, where the episode starts with them celebrating their latest victory over Slade.
That's cool.
Yes.
Like, hey, Slade forgot the potato salad, and that's why we fought.
I think there's an episode where they're celebrating their 100th victory over him.
Wow.
Yes. It's something that's ridiculous like that.
Oh, it's always sunny in Teen Titans Tower.
It certainly is. So we're going to get into TV talk here. Like I said, if you've made it this far and you're wondering where the Doctor Strange discussion is going to be, you're going to have to wait until Friday when After Dark comes out. But we're going to give you like a second or two before we get into discussion of Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Walking Dead in that order. And I'm going to go like this. I'm doing the dance that Conan O'Brien does going to commercial when Bart was the I Didn't Do It kid.
Ah! I didn't do it.
Only I'm allowed to dance going into commercial. Flash this week. We have our storylines going on. Mainly, we have three big storylines going on. Of course, the Central City is being terrorized by monsters. And, what's his name? And again, I keep forgetting what his Harry Potter name is.
I don't know. I know him as Julian Albert.
Julian Albert. Draco Malfoy.
Oh, boy.
Is trying to figure it out. And we find out why he doesn't like metahumans. And not just the bad ones, but all of them. Caitlin Snow goes to her mom, who is apparently a super fancy scientist, and they're estranged, in assisting her on why she, you know, to do something about her Killer Frost powers. And while that is going on as well, we discover a shocking secret about, was it Earth 19, Harrison Wells?
It's either 17 or 19.
17 or 19. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's one of the two. Mm-hmm. So what did you think of this episode? Let's get into it.
I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought it was a bit... You know, it was interesting that they were pulling in all different directions. I like, the best part about it is I like the Harrison, the Harry, the, are they HR. Calling him HW, right?
I think they say HR.
Well, wouldn't it be Harrison Wells?
They call him HR Wells.
Oh, okay.
He goes, get it?
Gotcha, yeah. But I'm like, okay, I like this. And when we find out his secret is that he's really a crime novelist with, like, metahuman stories and all this stuff. And on his Earth, he wasn't really a scientist. He was a sham. He's kind of like the Steve Jobs of Harrison Wells, mm-hmm. where it's kind of like, I have all these great ideas. Now you go figure out how to do it. And I like the reveal that as we get there, we think he's another evil version of Wells, and it's like, nah, I'm just a liar, and you know, I'm from Earth whatever, and I do this thing, and I kind of help people, and I have my hat that I love, and he does his thing. So I'm enjoying Kavanaugh's version of yet another Harrison Wells.
Right, he's a delight in everything that he does. And I liked his interplay when he was giving the ideas, like, for the carbon fiber rope.
Mm-hmm.
And how he was just kind of piggybacking on all their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it just shows the range that Tom Cavanaugh has as an actor, and that's why he's fantastic.
Yeah, we're going to do it like in the movie, like Empire of the Sun, Barry. Empire Strikes Back. Empire Strikes Back, Barry. I was crying that he gets all these like little things wrong. But the one problem I still have about the Harrison Wells story,
yes,
is him just going out to get Big Belly Burgers. When we have established that they let Barry's father out of prison because Harrison Wells confessed as the murderer of Barry's mother. Why do they let him go out in public? That I go nuts every time he's like, I'm going out for a walk. You're a wanted murderer on this planet. Somebody stop him.
Tackle him.
Yeah. Oh, the guy with super speed? Maybe you might be able to catch him before he walks out of Star Labs.
Why am I remembering that they may have done something to kind of fix that? Oh, maybe Flashpoint fixed that.
I don't know. But they better explain it, because I don't think they ever did, and it just aggravates me to no end.
I figured you would be okay with this, the fact that this iteration of Wells comes from an Earth where there is no coffee.
Oh, that's fantastic. If he came from an Earth that there was no coffee and no pumpkins, I would visit Earth 17/19.
So, the Caitlin Snow stuff... You know, obviously it's building toward her becoming evil, of course.
Or is she?
I didn't like the mother.
Because they're having that Killer Frost comic where she joins the JLA. So do you want her to be a villain on the Flash show? Maybe they're going to go like, oh, well, Flashpoint changed everything and she's a hero now.
She's going to be a tweener, man.
Oh, yep. She's going to be an anti-hero.
Now, I will say this for our fans of good TV shows, and I know Todd's going to make some sort of snide remark about this. The woman who plays Caitlin Snow's mother mm-hmm. also played Dolores on Seinfeld.
What's that show?
All right.
Seinfeld?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that the show where they have signs in the field? Seinfeld?
No.
Okay.
But from a very famous episode of Seinfeld where he was dating a girl and couldn't remember her name.
Oh, Dolores. I even know that story.
There you go. And then the main story, of course, with Barry and Draco Malfoy. They're friends now, but for how long?
Till it goes sideways.
Right. I do like the fact that they didn't drag this out. Like, there's a lot of times, like, they're getting right down to business with the interplay with the characters. And I like that this season. Like, mm-hmm. this thing with H.R. Wells being a phony, they could have drug out for several episodes.
Yeah, but I don't think...
Get right into it. You know what I mean? And we're only 5 episodes in to, like, what would technically be at least 22-episode series. And we could have drug this thing with Draco Malfoy out to at least the mid-season break.
I agree.
But it's like, okay, let's move it along. We're going to get to bigger and better things here shortly.
My only problem with that storyline was I did like the fact that it's just Julian's like a lot of wasted potential on these metahumans. But the thing, when you find out that it's a kid with a hologram doing the monsters, it's kind of like that is glossed over other than, you know... Julian, you know, that whole thing where Flash saves Julian from killing a teenager, so they become friends. I'm just kind of like, oh, like, I don't know if this villain was anybody we should, Dr. Spectro or any, like, you know what I mean? Like, I know a lot of villains.
Okay. But do you think, since this kid showed remorse after what he had done, mm-hmm. that he will be brought back as, say, Chunk?
That could be interesting, but mm-hmm. Chunk's, I don't know how that, because Chunk had the interdimensional thing.
Right, well, but maybe he gets some sort of latent something, or there mm-hmm. is a version of him from Flashpoint that comes through.
Was his name Chester P. Runk?
I don't think so.
Because that would be, Chunk is one of my favorite characters. Wait, oh, I could do a whole 10 minutes on Chunk, so just stop me now.
Why am I not seeing his name in the full cast? Oh, he's only credited in the show as Kid.
Oh, well, he's a Legion of Superheroes character.
Right, and he does not appear to be in any other episodes this season. So that was a dead end on my end.
Wow. See, I was all over it.
Right. So Flash is good. I like Flash a lot. He's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to Legends of Tomorrow, which is, again, another show that is having their three things going on. You've got Steel. I always want to call him Steel, even though they very rarely call him Steel, but he's Steel.
Right. He was Steel before Superman Steel.
Right.
He was a Steel. So he was part of Justice League Detroit.
So he and White Canary are attempting to help Ulysses S. Grant fight zombies, while Jax and Vixen are dealing with all sorts of problems in 1800 Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
while Ray and Dr. Stein are back on the ship dealing with Heatwave, who is infected with the Rage virus, because we don't say zombie. But they do say zombie a lot.
You don't want to scare Stein.
Right. Oh, if I say zombies, I scare myself, which is how that doesn't work. Okay.
What, you don't know. What if your wife said eye injury? She'd freak herself out, wouldn't she?
No, if I said it to her, she would freak herself out. But that's because she's crazy.
But if she even said it, she would freak out. She'd go, eye injury. Why did I say eye injury? So Stein being... I actually enjoyed Stein being freaked out by the zombies, and I actually enjoyed that whole storyline of them on the ship where Ray, you know, is trying to be the hero without the suit, and he's like telling Stein, he's like, well, we're gonna open that door, and Stein's like, I'm not going in. He goes, okay, if I go in and he gets me, then you have two zombies to worry about. I'm like, the logic that he used to get Stein to help him was fantastic.
Right, and I really like this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It felt as though, and again, I know Halloween was on a Monday and this came out on a Thursday, mm-hmm. but I think this would have been better suited toward coming out before Halloween.
Yeah.
That's all.
But sometimes, hey, remember when the Treehouses of Horror came out late November?
Because of baseball? That's true, because of the World Series.
That's right, so hey, sometimes you get what you get. But I really enjoy it, and I want to see where it goes, and maybe soon we'll find out what the message from Barry is.
Right, and there's that lingering thread. I think that's going to be a mid-season. Like, we're going to find out what that is at the end of this season.
Right. I don't know. I wonder if that's going to bridge into the crossover event.
Mm-hmm.
Could be, you know?
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
Like, he's warning them about what's coming in the crossover event of the shows.
Possibly. Oh, yeah, maybe he's warning them of the invasion.
Right, that's what it could be.
So
I want to know where, real quick, where Rip is. I think we need Rip back soon.
Yeah, that's another thing. They haven't mentioned that like in an episode or two.
I hope he's with Jonah Hex, because he likes the Old West.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let's move on to Walking Dead, where we have more zombies. We watched two zombie shows this week.
Yes. So this one is, we are at the home of the Saviors, and we are catching up with what's going on with Daryl, and we're also getting a little bit of information about Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
All the while, Negan is Neganing it up.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten a chance to talk to anyone about this episode, as I just watched it this morning. And I don't like to, like, go up to people and like, hey, you see that yet? But I will, I'm sure, when I go to my folks' house for dinner this week, what they thought of this episode. Because
right.
I really like this episode, and the whole thing was built around, at least in the main part, is Daryl going to crack? Is the promise of what Negan can offer him going to get Daryl to join Negan's side, essentially?
I have a whole theory on that.
Well, let's get into it.
I think Daryl, everybody thinks Daryl is like the loyal guard dog, especially with Rick. You know what I mean? Like, he's just like, set him loose and do what you want. He's not that bright. He's very loyal, but he's not your thinking man's man, if you know what I mean. But I think what's going to happen is Daryl's like, I got to play this right. I'm going to let them think that they've cracked me, and I'm going to bide my time till I get what I want. And if that means doing some dirty stuff, that's what's going to happen, just so he can get close to Negan, if you know what I mean.
I do.
And I think that's exactly where it's going.
I felt that way, too, until the part where, you know, Negan says, who are you? And he still says Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
So he still hasn't succumbed, but he was showing some cracks in his armor.
I think that's part of his master plan, because if he gave in too soon, Negan would know.
Oh, but I 100% agree with your feelings in regards to Daryl. He is probably the smartest one in the group.
Mm-hmm.
By far. Because he has that survival instincts from all the way back in like seasons 1 and 2.
Right. He's got street smarts.
Right.
He knows how to play a thug. Like, you know, play up against the guy who's thuggish, where, but he's not the kind of guy you're like, oh, well, let's have you lead the group and make decisions about our food stocks. You know what I mean? Like, that's not his strong point. But this, dealing with dirtbags, oh, he's got that down.
And I will say this, I like Negan better when he has his jacket zipped up.
You don't like it when you can see his t-shirt?
No. I don't know why, because when we first see him in this episode, he has his jacket open, and I'm like, there's something wrong. What's going on here? Why does Negan look weird? And then in the next scene when he has it zipped up, I'm like, ah, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
There, that's Negan. Ah, I feel better now. But then the other story stuff is essentially a little bit of Dwight's origin story. And discussion of the Iron, of course. Now, we, readers of the comic book, know where Dwight is going to end up.
Mm-hmm. Or do we?
Or do we? Because things always change in the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But they attempted in this episode to make Dwight more of a sympathetic character.
And give him motivation to dislike Negan.
Right. And I didn't buy it. I wonder if other people did. But the reason I didn't buy it was because he comes off as such an unlikable person. Not Dwight, but the actor who plays him. He just strikes me as an unlikable, squirrely, weaselly guy.
And I think that's almost the way they're playing it.
Oh, absolutely.
Is he, and because there's that moment where he goes to capture the guy. And he, you know, wrecks the motorcycle tire or whatever. And he basically lays it out to the guy. He's like, I'm taking you back. He's like, you're not taking me back. He's like, yes, I am. Because if you don't go back, I'm going to make everyone you've ever talked to miserable. And in the end, he ends up shooting the guy. And you're like, oh, well, Dwight did the thing that, you know, that you're cool. He's like, he put the guy out of his misery. But then he ends up taking him back. He didn't shoot him in the head. He shot him in the back. And he's the zombie who's going to defend the savior's thing. And I like that because I think it's going to give you that will he. Like, you know how we have Daryl? Will he, won't he join Negan? Now we have Dwight, who's the opposite side of the coin for Daryl. Will he or won't he betray Negan? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have this, maybe, like, switch sides, both guys, whatever they want to do with it. And it makes it. And I love the fact that Dwight has on Daryl's leather vest. That I absolutely thoroughly enjoy.
Oh, the fact that he has the leather vest, the fact that he has the crossbow, the fact mm-hmm. that he is, in his mind, Daryl.
He's a bad man because he's Daryl.
And he's not.
No, he's not.
He wouldn't. Punk. He is blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Or he wouldn't have let Negan do what he did to him
right.
over the course of time. Daryl would have never stood for that.
Absolutely not.
Though would he have if it was what's her face from who's at the Kingdom now? Carol. Do you think he would have cracked if it was Carol?
No.
He would have let him do bad things to Carol then? See, it's an interesting conversation we're having here now. Because Daryl even says it in the episode. He's like, I get why you did what you did, but I got nobody to care about right now. I ain't cracking.
Right.
So I think if Carol was there, Dwight sees a man there with the grace of God go I. Maybe, maybe not. That's my take.
Right. But I really like this episode a lot.
I did too. And I like the fact that Negan was nice enough to give Daryl a wake-up call every morning.
I toyed with the idea of getting that song and putting it in with this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be up late doing this episode anyway.
You know how I knew he wasn't torturing Daryl?
How?
Because that song was a nice song. If he wanted to torture Daryl, he would have had recordings of Beth singing every morning.
I like that. I'm down with that.
That's right.
Oh, man. Anything else we need to cover, sir?
No. I think I worked in a Beth crack, so we're done with Walking Dead today.
All right. So, thanks everyone for listening to episode 319 of Longbox Heroes. For Todd, this is Joe, and we will catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop! All right, it is football picks time. As you can hear the music, I'm here with Asa. We had 7 correct last time. Let's see if we can do it again. So, who do you think is going to win? A Bulldog or a Raven?
Bulldog.
Okay. A Falcon or an Eagle?
Falcon.
A Bear or a Buccaneer?
Buccaneer.
A Bronco or a Saint?
Saint.
A Packer or a Titan?
Titan.
A Chief or a Panther?
Panther.
A Ram or a Jet?
Ramunition.
Ramunition. A Viking or a Redskin?
Redskin.
A Texan or a Jaguar?
Jaguar.
A Dolphin or a Charger?
Charger.
A Cowboy or a Steeler?
Cowboy.
A 49er or a Cardinal?
Cardinal.
A Seahawk or a Patriot?
Seahawk.
And last one, a Bengal, which is like a tiger, or
tiger.
A giant?
Tiger.
Over a giant?
I'm a giant.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to hear both choices before we ended it. They're going to hear the music throughout the whole thing. Is there anything else you wanted to say to everybody?
No, nothing.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.